I can't even begin to tell you how much I have enjoyed this summer series. Every single lesson has been so incredibly encouraging. And I've noticed that I think that when I brag on these guys before they come up, it kind of throws them for a loop and embarrasses them and overwhelms them. And so I don't care. I'm going to continue to do that because it's my opportunity. You know, I get to tell all of you just generically that I love you every week, which is true. But sometimes I love the opportunity to get to brag on somebody specifically and tell you why I love them. Our speaker tonight is Derek Kreitz. Derek and his wife Lindsay and their two boys, not only are they wonderful brothers and sisters in Christ, but they're also my neighbors. They live in my neighborhood and they are good friends, and I am so thankful for them. Derek works in retail. He works at a Christian bookstore at Mardell. And so what Derek does for a living, I think, is point people in the right direction. And I think that if you know Derek, you know that that's what Derek is really good at. He's really good at loving people. He cares about people, and he cares about the Lord, and he loves to point people towards the Lord. And anytime he gets the opportunity, he points people towards Jesus. So I have no doubt that that's what he's going to do for us this evening. Come and preach the word to us, brother.
I really do appreciate this opportunity. It's a humbling thing to be asked to do anything up here, but to actually be asked to speak up here for 30 minutes, which my wife told me I had to stick right at because she teaches the kids, and if we don't go get the kids on time, ooh boy, y'all know what's going to happen. So, let's go. So, our topic tonight is hearing God. Now, when this particular topic was given to me, I honestly started chuckling for two reasons. One, I knew this topic could potentially get me in a little bit of trouble because in some ways I am a very traditional member of the church, and in some ways I'm not. Two, I've been on a bit of a journey to figure out how to hear God for many years. It's become a question I've searched many places for. Now, there are so many examples of hearing God in both the scriptures and in the history of our world that this topic is probably worth an entire quarter, if not more. So, in this vast topic, where do we actually start? So, for tonight, we're going to start with this one bit of scripture that I've honestly kind of fallen in love with, and I think it happens to be one of the most instructive parts of the Bible of hearing God. So, assuming you have your Bibles, it's a Wednesday night. You have your Bibles, right? This is the crowd that has their Bibles. And if I just shamed you, I'm really sorry. That wasn't my intent. So we're going to be going over the what's commonly called the Road to Emmaus. In case you're not familiar with this story, this is right after Jesus has died. His disciples are reeling. They underwent what is likely the three most difficult days of their life. Then some of the people in their group went to see their Lord, but then they found the tomb empty and they are just utterly confused. And that's where our story picks up. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. Again, the death and rumors of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing them. And he said to them, "What is this conversation you are holding with each other as you walk?" As an aside, when people say there's nothing funny about the Bible, I disagree entirely. I can see Jesus seeing this with a little twinkle in his eye. Back to the scripture. And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to him, "What things?" Again, I think this is hilarious. And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. "Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive? Some of these who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. So to summarize, they proceeded to tell Jesus who he was and that he had died and that he's rumored to be resurrected. And he said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it's toward evening and the day is now far spent." Again, I find this very fascinating. Jesus pretends that he has somewhere else to go. You know, the man who just was risen from the dead. I'd say his schedule was pretty open, personally. This does almost make you wonder if he had walked with others and they had failed to invite him in. I personally would say that's a pretty big miss. By not showing hospitality to some random guy on your walk, you missed being in the Bible. So, back to the scriptures. He went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those that were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Now, isn't this an amazing story? It has everything. It has lost souls. It has a returning hero. It has a plot twist. It has humor in a case of burning hearts or heartburn. We'll go with burning hearts. This story, honestly, in my opinion, gives great examples on how to hear God, and even more reassuringly to me and hopefully to you as well, it shows how those who literally traveled with him got it so desperately wrong so many times and so consistently. So maybe it's okay if we get this wrong on occasion. Now, hearing God, I'm personally convinced, is one of the most important things for us to learn how to do. Many people who are smarter than me, which is a long list, actually call this the most important thing that we can do in our walk. Now, I'm sure most of you agree with this, but I am firmly convinced that the Lord wants a deep relationship with us, not just a casual, how about them cowboys kind of relationship. A deep, long time spent together, know each other so well that you can finish each other's sentences kind of relationship. As at the beginning of creation, he has shown us that he wants to walk with us and talk with us in the garden in the cool of the day. Now, this can be hard for us. We were made for this conversation with God, but we've either lost our ability or we've forgotten how to listen to him. Now, before we go any further, I need to be very clear on one thing. Jesus is the Word. Jesus is what God sounds like. We see this in how we hear him, John 10:27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So hearing God's voice starts and ends with Jesus. Again, go back to our story. If there was anybody who could pull the "I heard from God" card, it's Jesus. Right? But instead, he decided to walk them through a Bible study instead, an hours-long Bible study. What I wouldn't give to have heard that lesson, right? So if something happens in your life that you feel might be a word from God, and if it does not match with what Jesus has said, or if it doesn't point to him, then you need to run, not walk, away from that. If it doesn't fit with what Jesus has said, whether it be dreams, visions, prophecy, angels, a talking donkey, or occasionally even the Bible, if it doesn't fit with what Jesus said or point to him, then one of two things is happening. Either it's not the truth or you're hearing or reading it wrong. Everything must line up with the living word. Now, this is an incredibly obvious thing, but honestly, it's also a very neglected thing. In fact, I'd be willing to guess that when some of you heard that the topic tonight was hearing God, you had a painful memory or two pop up. Memories of when you really needed to hear from God. You heard nothing. Or you may have your own stories about people pulling out the, but God told me this card to cover for their own failings. You may have been incredibly hurt by somebody claiming the voice of God and making a decision that broke you. You may have trusted someone in an important matter that claimed that God told them that this was the way to go. And it went worse than you possibly could have imagined. Now, people throughout history have played the God card when they get called out for something, and it's done immeasurable damage. As Wes mentioned, as somebody who gets to deal with people who call themselves prophets and others who claim to have a direct line with God on a weekly, if not daily basis, I can 100% commiserate. In fact, I have some incredible stories for you, which I'm happy to share when I'm not on a live mic. So I completely understand those of you who have shut this down already in your head. I would, however, ask you to open yourself up to the possibility that the God who created you actually loves you and wants to communicate with you and probably already has been doing so in ways that you just may not realize. So, how do we hear God? So tonight we're going to focus on three. There's so many more to go to, but three main sections. So we hear God in the Bible, in prayer, and in His whisper in our lives. So again, the primary way God speaks is going to be through the Bible. As I stated, everything that He says, nothing He ever says will contradict or override what He has already said. Now, I'm very thankful that in this family that we have here, we have a pretty good grasp on the Bible and what it says. Of course, we're all still learning, and we have much more to learn, and we're going to continue to learn until we meet the writer face to face. Now, this is one of the reasons why I'm convinced that Jesus didn't just show up on the road to Emmaus and go, "Hey, I'm back." Again, He proceeded to have an in-depth, very lengthy Bible study showing the way we are to interpret the Scriptures. There are many terms to describe this, but the fanciest that I could find, because I set myself up to sound smart before you realize that I'm not, is a Christological hermeneutic, aka, for normal people, reading the Old Testament in light of the New Testament and the rest of the New Testament in light of the Gospels. Again, this is super obvious, but again, it's one of the ways that the Bible is abused the most. Some people, including, I'll say me. I have used the Bible as a kind of encyclopedia or a handbook on occasion, aka the Bible says it, so it's true. But when we use the Scriptures simply like this, people can and have justified every terrible thing that mankind has ever done. And they say that these things are all right with God because it's in the Bible. Now, think this isn't true? Go look at history. This has happened over and over again. People use this proof text approach to the Scriptures to justify terrible things. And since many of these things make me sick, I don't really want to linger on them. But this is why we must include the Bible in the list of things that we have to compare to Jesus. Now, I firmly believe that anybody can pick up the Bible and get the story. They can see everything needed for life and godliness. But this is also why we must study. Because anybody at any time can pull some wackadoo idea out of their head and go to the Bible and find proof for it. And if we don't know the character of our Lord, if we don't know what Jesus sounds like, then we can be led astray. Now, the next way we hear God is primarily in prayer. I personally think that prayer is the most important thing we do. Taught a whole quarter on it. Could probably do more. But one of the things I'm really a firm believer in when it comes to prayer is praying the Bible. Again, there are many, many terms for this. But the one that seems to have stuck the most is called Lectio Divina, essentially Latin for sacred reading. Again, this is a topic of worthy of its own class, but a simple summary of I've found is this. You can see it on screen. And it's easy to remember. It's pray. So you pause to be still, you read and reflect, rejoice with a song or reflect on a scripture, then you ask God to help us and others, and then finally you yield to His will in our lives And here's the key, whatever that is. We pause to prepare ourselves and slow down because God tends to move slow, and we have to learn to join him in that slowness. We then read a short passage of scripture. We want to aim to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. Now that we have the passage in our mind, you read it again, slowly, which is difficult for us because sometimes it's nice to just get those chapters out of the way for the day, right? We focus on whatever catches our attention, and we do that as long as we need. Now, the right word here might scare some of us. It's meditation. Many Christians freak out about this word because they feel it's not Christian to meditate, but let's see if we can just fix that real quick. Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Psalm 19, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Christian meditation is not emptying your mind to clear it. That is a fallacy that has been put on us from other places, other religions, other times. Christian meditation is taking time to chew on a scripture. It's tasting it and letting it become a part of you. After we've done this, then we spend some time talking to the Lord or asking. Now, one of the wonderful things about this is that this can lead to all the different types of prayer. And as a huge bonus, well, at least for me, because my prayers occasionally can get boring and repetitive to me. I'm sure none of y'all have that problem. But if you pray based on what you're reading, you will naturally pray for different things or in different ways than you will if we just pray through our list. Then finally, we yield to God. Again, this is very similar to the time at the beginning. We just sit with God. This can be uncomfortable at first. But then again, isn't silence uncomfortable when you don't know someone that well? When we first get to know someone, we can hardly stop talking to fill that awkward silence. But as time passes, the silence is no longer awkward. It's comfortable. It's even a part of the conversation. You just stop for a while because you've said what needs to be said. Then when something comes up, you naturally start talking again. Then the last one we're going to talk about tonight is hearing God's whisper. Now, this part got redone a few times because this is the place where it gets a little bit messy. I think if we're honest, we'd all prefer that God makes things loud and clear. Unfortunately, God doesn't normally work this way. He tends to work in another way, a quieter way. We have to learn how to listen to the whispers of God. The creator of all reality seems to whisper way more than he roars. He will work with you however you need, but he's not going to force anything on you. He does this all the time, both now and in the biblical record. Again, let's go back to our main story. So they drew near to the village to which they were going, and he acted as if he were going further. Once again, why? Why would he act as if he's just going to continue on? Now, if we just take this scripture and don't look anywhere else, we could say it's just a weird quirk. We see these in the Bible sometimes. And we just move on. But this isn't the first time something like this has happened. This has happened. Again, if you can, let's turn to Mark 6:45. Now, even if you've not grown up in the church, you probably know this story. Jesus has just done another amazing miracle. He's fed at least 5,000 men with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Then after eating and dealing with the leftovers, which were somehow more than what they started with, Jesus does this. This is 6:45. Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. Now there is so much in this text. But for the purposes of our lesson, he came to them, walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them. He meant to pass by them? He didn't want to make sure that everybody knew that he could walk on water. I want people to know that I can walk on water if I can walk on water. He's just walking, playing it cool. Maybe gave Peter that little head nod, like he's passing him on the street. I don't know about you, but I'm starting to get the feeling that Jesus is subtle. He's not the type to force us to do anything. He's not pushy. He's not intrusive. He is perfectly okay to walk right on by if we're not ready to invite him into our lives or our boat or our house. We see these wonderful characteristics of gentleness and meekness in our Lord that have been shown of God throughout the scriptures. We get another glimpse of this in that amazing story in 1 Kings 19, which we've already talked about a couple times this quarter. But just summarize, because I have to summarize. Elijah has just come down from the ultimate mountaintop experience. He has just seen God send down fire from the skies that burned up a sacrifice as well as everything the sacrifice is on. Again, right after joking that the other God might be in the restroom. Again, the Bible's hilarious. You just got to find the spots. He saw God end a years-long drought while Elijah is laboring in prayer. Then God gave Elijah some sort of supernatural speed where he's able to outrun a chariot, and he got to the city gates before Ahab the king. He's then told by Jezebel, lovely name, that she is going to make sure that he dies, and very quickly. Of course, Elijah gets out of Dodge, so he goes into the wilderness and rests under a broom bush. There, an angel-slash-physical manifestation of God, it's kind of hard to tell, makes him a cake and gives him a drink that sustains him for a 40-day journey to Mount Horeb. Again, why Mount Horeb? You might remember this better as Mount Sinai, otherwise known as the Mountain of God. You know, the Ten Commandments, burning bush, mountain of fire. You remember it. He's obviously hoping to have another literal mountaintop experience at this place. Then we get to the payoff. The word of the Lord comes to him in the cave and listens to his complaint and tells him that the Lord will pass by outside. And then the famous, but God was not in the storm, he's not in the earthquake, not in the fire, but in the silence, the quiet whisper. God throughout history, again, seems to speak most often and most effectively through these quiet means. Now, when we're trying to learn how to hear him, we can really classify his whisper a couple different ways, but I honestly think they're two sides of the same coin. Just one I would classify as external and one more as internal. Now, again, this is one of those areas which we must be very careful and sort everything through the lens of Jesus. I'll freely acknowledge that my own thinking on this has evolved quite a bit over the years. So when I use a term like hearing God's whisper, we obviously have the audible. But when I'm talking about this, I'm more talking about when somebody gives you a word or when you have a word come to you. Sometimes it's a scripture, sometimes it's a phrase. Scripture doesn't really lock this down into very firm category. So this is kind of different, but maybe I could demonstrate this better with this story. Now, this was not me. Let me make this clear. But it's a man I know. So he had just gotten off work. He was tired. He had just got home. This man's exhausted. He's had a really rough day. But he got a thought from nowhere. You need to go to Starbucks. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. I get this thought every day. Difference is he didn't want to go. He said no, said I don't want to go. But again, he kept getting this impression that he really needed to go. So he sighed and honestly was super annoyed, but he went ahead and went. He brought some work with him, sat there, worked for about an hour. He looks around after that hour and says to God, "Why am I here? I want to be home." Of course, at that moment, a young lady happened to walk in. Best way I can describe her, no offense meant towards anybody, is an emo kid. So dyed black hair, all black clothes, the dress, everything. She sits close to him, because of course she does, and pulls out a pack of tarot cards and starts fiddling with them. Now, one thing I didn't tell you about my friend, he's one of those stupid smart people. He's one of those that he likes to write research papers for fun, kind of smart. One area of research that he had just finished working on was a deep dive into the occult from a Christian perspective. Of course, he recognized that maybe this is why he's supposed to be here and proceeds to talk to the young lady. Kind, loving attitude, of course, just asking what she's doing, how her day's going, what the cards are. I won't go into all the details, but she was a former follower of Jesus. And due to some terrible things that had happened to her, she no longer believed. Through this conversation that he had, she realizes that she's messing with things she shouldn't be messed with. And when he told her the circumstances of him being there, she's astonished. And as she leaves, he actually sees her throw those cards in the trash can. Now, a couple weeks later, my friend's at the same location. And a woman with bright clothes and bright red hair comes in and sits next to him and says, "Hi, remember me?" You can see where this is going. It was the same girl. After their conversation, she had gone home, asked God to forgive her, and came back to the Lord. One soul pulled back from the accuser because one man chose to listen to a thought that could have been nothing. I see story after story after story like this. Not all are quite this dramatic, but I hear these daily. But these people that do them, they chose to listen to the prompting that could have been nothing, but as we see, it could be something. If we think about our days, I think we can all agree that we've had something like this happen to us before. Who hasn't had a thought that seemingly came from out of nowhere? In my normal day-to-day work, again, I talk to people all day long. There's been more than once where I've had a response pop in my head that made zero sense to me, but it was just the word that that person needed at that time. I personally think that God uses all of us in this way way more than we realize. I mean, how many times when you have been reading scripture or when you've been praying, does somebody's face pop in your mind? Well, how many times has their situation come to you? And if you have taken that step to reach out to them, not too many of those stories end badly. Again, this is an area where we do need some guardrails, and the best I've found is a simple five-second help to help you see whether we should say these things or keep quiet, because sometimes that's the wise thing. This is not perfect, but it's a good start. So, and it's very simple. It's ABC. So, is it affirming? Does it strengthen, encourage, comfort, edify, or build up the person? Is it biblical? Is this word consistent with the whole of Scripture? The whole, not just some random verse from Leviticus. And C, is it Christ-like? Again, the lens of Jesus. Does it follow the character and message of Christ? Again, ABC, very simple. If it doesn't pass this framework, then we need to keep it to ourselves until somebody wiser than us can give us some advice. And if it passes this framework, then the worst that could happen is that you tried to encourage somebody and it didn't work. And that's okay. Listening to hear God takes time. I think, honestly, it's because sometimes we just don't listen. There are going to be times when we take a chance, and it is going to be incredibly embarrassing for you. But if we're going to be embarrassed, isn't it okay to be embarrassed for Jesus on occasion? This can be super messy, and I acknowledge this. Messy things terrify us. We like things neat and tidy, even our God. feel like it's easier to stick with the parts of him that we're comfortable with, the parts that we can feel like we can logically control. Life will get messy, but as we know, God can work with messy. Now, one quick last way that we can start seeing him move more in our day is a practice called the examine. Essentially, very quickly, you look back at your day, not the highlights, but the details. They say the devil's in the details. I prefer to see God in the details. So very quickly, you reflect, you look back at the details of your day, looking for the, especially the times where you had strong emotions or acted strange. You rejoice when you see the times that he joined you in the day. Again, not in the big things, but in the little things. You repent, because we all need to repent. We all miss the mark. And then you reset. Once you've seen the good, bad, and the ugly, you enjoy the good, you repent about the bad, and you get yourself ready for the next day, knowing that he has shown you things. Now, there are so many things to go into this topic of fearing God. And I didn't even get a chance to get into fasting, which, oh, is so helpful when it comes to hearing God. But ultimately, hearing God boils down to four things. Listen and follow Jesus. This is, of course, not a one-time thing. It's easy to say yes once, right? It's harder to say yes today, next week, next year. We first have to say yes to his words in the Bible. Come follow me. Repent and be baptized. Pick up your cross. Love your enemies. Go into all the world. That's hard enough. But then we have to listen for his whisper. The whisper that says, go get in that line. Go talk to that person today. This week, take an extra 50 out of the bank. Hey, now go pay for that person's food. You haven't heard from them in a while. Shoot them a text. Give them a call. That person over there, you need to go tell them that you love them. And that one over there, I need you to tell them that I love them. So we learn to do this over and over again. We'll start to be able to recognize him in the everyday, recognize that he has been speaking to us. We just have to have ears to hear. Let's end in a word of prayer. Father, I ask that you help us have ears to hear. I ask that you help us see you in the moments of our day where we need you. We ask you to help us listen to your spirit, to the promptings that you give us, to this force within us that knows more than we can know. And we ask you to help us be willing to be embarrassed for your name. Help us to be embarrassed by going to people who we wouldn't normally go to, but you want us to go to, because we know that every single person, every single soul, deserves to be yours and is yours because you created each and every one of us. Help us to go through this week and listen more to you. In your son's name we pray. Amen.